you guys, 2020 has been a different kind of year. I mean, it's just hard to look at it and not think of it as something that hasn't challenged us in ways that maybe we weren't before. And some of the challenges are, came back. Some of the, usual struggles, I guess, the things that happened to come up and come and go. Some of those were magnified, I think, during 2020, and some of them were maybe even not existent. Some of those things that we were focused on before, I mean, it just, you got put into more of a survival mode. Some people did, and it changed some of the things that we were focused on. But I think as I prayed about what to share for the last Sunday sermon in 2020, I thought it was very fitting that God began to lay on my heart a particular type of message, and it is ending the tumultuous year with the message of grace. Okay, and God's grace, because by God's grace, we're all still here this morning, and we're all still living and breathing. There's a current song or a new one that has come out here recently that says something to the effect of, if I'm still breathing, God's not done with me yet. Okay, and I believe that is true for each one of us. God is at work in our lives. But let's open with some prayer this morning. Father, we are praising you in the name of Jesus. We are exalting you as our Lord and our Savior. We are trusting and believing in all that you came to do, that you were willing to go through all those things, much, much worse, much more tumultuous than our 2020 has been, that you went through all those things for us on our behalf with one sole purpose, to deliver us from sin and condemnation, to put us in a right place with God. And Father, we thank you for your plan through Jesus. We thank you for opening that door, that pathway for us to have eternal life in heaven with you. And Father, we praise you. Thank you for your grace that is now bestowed upon us through Jesus. Your word tells us that grace and truth came to us through him. So Father, we trust you this morning. Open our hearts and our minds to understand the rest that you have now provided for us, what grace truly is. And Father, help us to leave and end this year, Father, as we close out the 2020 in the natural, Lord, that it will be a spiritual closure of the past, of any guilt and condemnation, but let 2021 be a year that is filled with your grace, Lord. We love you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So this morning I want to share with you about something that it's life-changing if you can grab onto it. It's a powerful message of the Sabbath rest, okay, that we now have because of the grace of Jesus Christ. So when I say it's a message of grace, we're going to be talking about true Sabbath rest. I want you to understand and put the connection together. Okay, because Sabbath rest was something that was instituted by God himself. Okay, I would imagine that if I asked 10 different people, or even in here, 10 people on the street or whatever, if I asked you, what is the Sabbath day? What is it? And at least 9 out of those 10 would say, it's a day of rest, right? I mean, isn't that typically what we think of when we think of the Sabbath day? It's a day of rest, right? Okay, or a day with no work, you know, a day off. And 2020 years ago, okay, we're in 2020, right? 2020 years ago, that would have been a pretty accurate statement. Okay, because the Sabbath day was something that was instituted by God, which in part was a day off, right? A day of no labor, a day of rest. Okay, just like many people think of it today. But that idea, in other words, of the working 6 days, right, and then getting at least one day off, okay, was not an invention of man. Okay, that was something that God had put in from the very beginning. Remember, in the beginning, God created heavens, earth, did all those things, and for 6 days, he did all the work, and then on the seventh day, even the Bible says God even rested on the seventh day from all that he had been working on. Okay, well, the Sabbath rest, okay, that we're going to talk about today, and the Sabbath rest that we now live in is not an invention of man either. Okay, it's something that is an invention and was God's idea from the very beginning. And I want you to listen very carefully to this message today, because I know even when I just said, what is the Sabbath day, many people were mumbling, it's a day of rest. I want to show you that it is way more than that. Okay, but I want you to pay attention to the whole message, right? The whole sermon. So if you can, try not to nod off. Okay, try to stay awake. Slap yourself if you need to. I can throw something at you if you want me to. Try to stay awake for the whole thing, because if you don't get true Sabbath rest, which is what this is about, you'll leave not being freed like you could have been. Okay? You'll end up living and continuing on with some of that heaviness of guilt and condemnation. You'll have some insecurities and some doubts, okay, still in your relationship with God. You'll still question whether or not you are good enough for God. You'll still question whether or not you are truly right with God if you don't get what true Sabbath rest is. So this morning I'm going to talk about kind of two sides of Sabbath. Okay, one of them is part of it is the Old Testament Sabbath, okay, and then the New Testament Sabbath, because they are not the same. Okay, now there are whole churches, denominations built on it being the same, but they are not the same according to the scriptures. So first I want to start out a little bit of background about the Sabbath. Okay, where did it come from? When was the first time that they got a day off, right? Where did it come from? It comes all the way back to the beginning of the days when Moses was used, remember, as an instrument of God to deliver the people of God from the bondage that they were in as slaves to the Egyptians. Does everybody remember the crossing of the Red Sea? Okay, the big thing that made movies out of, right? Ten Commandments got a great scene of this crossing the Red Sea and them walking across on dry ground. That deliverance is part of where the Sabbath began. It was after that that it was initiated. Okay, if you understand the basic concept of God's grace under the new covenant, you'll know that we were set free from bondage the bondage of sin. We were set free from that bondage by Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's why I look back at Moses and the deliverance where they're set free from the bondage of the Egyptians by God himself. It was a miracle. It was supernatural. Right? The deliverance of the Israelites from the bondage of their oppressors was a foreshadow of things to come under the new covenant. It was kind of like, you know, and there are several in the Bible, Adam being one, Moses being one, Noah being one. There are several that are likened to Christ, okay? A type of Christ they're often referred to as, meaning that their story, remember Noah, you know, only those that were with Noah were spared, right? Okay, so he ends up being a type of Christ. Moses was a deliverer. He led the people, and the people that followed him were saved from their enemies. They were delivered. So in that sense, he became a type of Christ in that same way. Well, when the Israelites were set free from the Egyptians, it was a sign for all generations to come of the great deliverance of God that was about to take place through the Christ. And it has now taken place, past tense, through the grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, this is the great deliverance that was foreshadowed. In other words, you could literally say, you have been set free. I'm going to say this part slowly because some of you need to get this. You have been set free from the bondage of sin by the grace of Jesus Christ. Sin no longer rules over you. Okay? Some of you think that your sin is bigger than you are. Your sin is bigger than it might be bigger than you, but it's not bigger than your Savior. Let me put it that way. Okay? Because you're in a bondage and you're struggling and you're thinking there's just no way out. I'm just not strong enough. But it's not about you. Okay? Jesus Christ set you free from the bondage of sin because of what he did and how he went about it. Okay, the Sabbath rest entered into the picture for the Israelites when they had crossed the Red Sea and they're out and they're wandering in the wilderness, and they get to a point where they are hungry and they cry out to God. Okay, God, you should have just left us in Egypt. We'd been better off. They were feeding us at least. And they cry out, they started grumbling, and God answers their prayer with manna from heaven. Everybody kind of remember a little bit of that story. Okay, manna is like angel food, okay, is the way I refer to it. It's like this stuff that it's supernatural. There's something special about it. They described it in a little more detail in the Bible, but I liken it to, like, anybody ever eat honeycomb cereal? Okay, kind of these little wafer things that are kind of sweet and, you know, and good stuff, right? And that's kind of what they, God ended up pouring out from heaven, this manna that he gave them from heaven to sustain them on their journey. Okay, now follow along here. The idea was that every morning, the people would go out and collect enough of the manna for one day's worth of meals. Okay, every day, the manna, later on in the day, they would go out in the morning because later on in the day, the manna would basically melt away. Kind of like snow, I think of. You know, it got warm enough and it would melt away. Okay, so they were supposed to gather one day's worth of meals every morning. And then the next morning, after the manna kind of melted away, the next morning there would be fresh manna again on the ground for them to gather. Then on the sixth day, God is speaking through Moses, gives him instruction, and says on the sixth day they were to gather 2 days' worth because the seventh day was now a holy day of rest. Okay, that's where initially that seventh day, you know, the day of rest comes into the picture. Some of the people tested God, much like they do today, want to see if God was really meant what he said. Did he really mean to gather every day? How come I can't gather too much today? So some of them tried it, and they brought home a whole pile of it, and guess what? It turned into worms and started stinking, and it got rotten, like in one day, literally in one day. Other ones didn't trust. Maybe God wasn't really, why should they have to gather, you know, 2 days' worth on the sixth day? You know, why do we have to do that? There'll be more manna there tomorrow. They didn't think God was being straight with them. And so they didn't gather 2 days' worth on the sixth day. So on the seventh day, they go out to gather more manna. And guess what? It's not there. God said that it wasn't going to be there because it was a day of rest. Okay, so I've been kind of paraphrasing it for you, but I want to read you a passage out of Exodus chapter 16, starting in verse 23. And it kind of tells this story. And this is basically, it is the message that Moses was speaking to the people. And it starts out on verse 23, on the sixth day, right? So he's going to tell them, this is the instruction for today. So in verse 23, he says unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that which you will seethe, and that which remains over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, and as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. In verse 25, it turns to the seventh day. Okay? In verse 25, and Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord gets a little worked up about it because he wanted them to understand the importance of the Sabbath. In verse 28 it says, the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, and let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. In other words, they understood the Sabbath is from God. God says he'll provide enough on the sixth day that we can rest on the seventh. So in other words, resting from their labors on that seventh day was an important part of their deliverance. It was a part of the plan of God for their lives. The picture that the Sabbath rest implies to us is one that is often missed by New Testament Christians today, and that is the ceasing from your labors. Okay, not just work. Not just McDonald's, not just the refinery, not just wherever we work. Okay, not just having that day off kind of stuff. I want you to get this. Follow me closely, because I want you to understand what the Sabbath rest means for the believer today. Because, and get this, It is no longer a day of the week that we are to rest from our work on. Okay? You hear the Sabbath day. There are Sabbath keepers. There are churches that are seventh day only, Saturday keeping, going to church thing. The Sabbath for the New Testament believer is no longer a day of the week that we are to rest from our work on. Okay, now keep following. The Sabbath meant in the Hebrew tongue, like it was talking here, the Lord said, that day is a holy Sabbath unto the Lord. That word Sabbath in Hebrew, it was an intensive and intentional intermission from secular avocations. Okay, that kind of sounds like a day off of work. It meant to, and here's the part of the definition that means the most. It meant to cease from your work, to rest from your work, and to trust in what had already been accomplished. They could rest on the seventh day because of what happened on the sixth day. Does that make sense? They had gathered enough on the sixth day that the seventh day they didn't have to wake up and think, I need to go gather more manna. They didn't have to work it on the seventh day because they could trust in what happened on the sixth day. You following that? Okay, everybody say this. Say, the Sabbath rest is trusting in what has already been accomplished. Okay, now hopefully right there, some clicking is going on, right? Because this is what the Sabbath means to the New Testament believer. It is not a ceasing from work for one day. It is entering into the rest that was provided for us by Jesus Christ. He's on a cross. He bears the last three words saying, it is finished. We trust in what He did so that we have now entered into the Sabbath. We've entered into a point in the Christian life where we no longer labor, strive, struggle to make ourselves right with God. Through the grace of God, we have now entered into the Sabbath rest by our faith in what Jesus accomplished for us. Okay, that's why I say the Sabbath rest is trusting in what has already been accomplished. Okay, entering into the Sabbath and walking in that rest that has already been attained by Jesus and given to us is critical to your walk with God. If you're still laboring, okay, if you're still struggling, trying to put yourself in a better place with God, then you have not yet fully grasped the true Sabbath rest that we've entered into. The importance of the Sabbath under the Old Covenant, under the Old Testament, was vital for them to get it. God made it, it was so strong of a notion for God that it became one of the Big Ten, right? You guys don't want to talk about the Big Ten? Ten Commandments. Okay, it is on that list. That's how important the keeping of the Sabbath was to God. Okay, and it is just that critical, that vital for us under the New Testament to understand what the Sabbath really means. Because for thousands of years, the Sabbath has been highly regarded as an instrument of God's love for His children. It was something that God put in place to help protect, take care of His children. Okay, and like I said, it is such an important thing that it ended up on the Ten Commandments list, which I have a picture of that, I think, just to help remind you. Okay, the Ten Commandments, right? Everybody's seen or heard of the Ten Commandments, right? You still with me? Okay, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not worship any graven image. Thou shalt not take God's name in vain. And number four, remember the Sabbath to keep it, what? Holy. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Okay, there's a key in that. If you look at where this is outlined in Exodus chapter 20, okay, some of the commandments are being laid out in this part of the chapter. And Exodus 20 verse 8 literally says that. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and he rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Okay, now throughout the centuries, the focus unfortunately shifted from the act of keeping the Sabbath day holy to the act of keeping the Sabbath day. Okay, it became not about just keeping it holy, but just about keeping it. Okay, that's where churches were formed, right? You guys are going to church on the wrong day. We're doing it right. It became about a day, right? That was a shift that took place in society. Strict guidelines from the beginning about the Sabbath day. I'm flipping back and forth between old and new. That's why I tell you, you got to pay attention. Okay, because strict guidelines and rules were put in place, kind of implemented along the way regarding the Sabbath. Okay, one of those, or one good example, is under the governorship of a man of God named Nehemiah. Okay, and the Ezra, the priest named Ezra. They worked together when God's people had strayed. They had forgotten about God. They didn't have the reverence. They weren't keeping the Sabbath, even keeping the day, let alone keeping it holy. And they had strayed into all sorts of idolatry, and they just weren't following after God. So Nehemiah and Ezra reinstituted a whole large, big portion of God's laws and renewed the people's faith in their obedience in God. He basically, in a sense, forced them to be obedient to God. One of the things that Nehemiah reinstated was the Sabbath day. And he strictly enforced the keeping of it. So much so that he got upset because there was like foreign tribes and people coming into the city of Jerusalem on the Sabbath to sell their goods, to make money off of the people that were there to worship. And so on that day, Nehemiah decided that he was going to shut the doors to the city of Jerusalem the night before the Sabbath and keep it closed, keep them closed all day long so that those traders could not come into the city. And they got upset about it. They camped right outside the gate. Nehemiah goes to them or sends somebody to him and says, hey, if I find you here again tomorrow, we're going to lay hands on you. Okay. In other words, you're gonna get in big trouble. And they disappeared. And people got the point that the Sabbath was holy. The doors were going to close. Nobody was supposed to labor on that day or make money and do those kind of things on those days. Okay. The point of that, the point of me telling you about the strict rules of the Sabbath, is to show that the Sabbath day of rest was considered holy. It was a must-have. Okay, and Nehemiah got that from God. And he said, it was one of the big ten here. We're going back to it. Okay, we are going to make sure that we understand the Sabbath. Okay, so Nehemiah knew that if you did not understand what the Sabbath was for, if you did not observe the Sabbath, that you were going to be missing out of something that God put in place for your benefit. Okay, now fast forward a little bit to the New Covenant, the New Testament. Jesus came, right? Okay, we know that keeping the commandments, even the Ten Commandments, is still good for the believer, right? Thou shalt not kill, right? We're not going to go out and do that. Thou shalt not steal, right? We know better, right? We know we're not supposed to do those kind of things. We know that if the commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, we understand God doesn't want us worshiping idols, right? We're still, as New Testament Christians, we understand the Ten Commandments were written with a pretty good intention and that we will end up keeping the majority of them. So how about number four? How about the keeping of the Sabbath? Okay, isn't that why churches were formed? They wanted everybody to keep the Ten Commandments, and we weren't keeping that. We were having church on Sunday, right? And so they started this Seventh-day Adventist, and now they're going to have church on Saturday to keep the Sabbath, right? Okay, we still observe the things that were written in the commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. We still observe those things. So how do we keep the Sabbath as a New Testament Christian? Okay, here's how it works. Very simply, Jesus became our Sabbath. Amen. So that Sabbath rest, being trusting in what has already been accomplished, we trust in Jesus, we are keeping the Sabbath. Okay, remember that the commandment says, keep the Sabbath holy. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Who's holy? Who's holier than thou? How's that go? Okay, Jesus, perfect, sinless, absolutely perfect, holy. Okay, and he commands us then to be holy because he is holy. Okay, our rest, our, excuse me, seeking or ceasing from our own works as a means of making ourselves right with God is now in Christ. Okay, we keep the Sabbath by moment acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We acknowledge that what he did on the cross was sufficient for me. That is the keeping of the holiness of the Sabbath. God's promise of the Sabbath rest remains then even to today. Even as the Apostle Paul was explaining this, he explained it to the Hebrews. And as he's doing it, he does it by comparing those who are still trying to make themselves right with God by keeping the law. He explains it by comparing those that are still under the law, still trying to make themselves right with God by keeping the Ten Commandments, by keeping the laws and statutes, and he compares them to those who walk by faith under the new covenant. Okay, so he's comparing basically those that are caught up in legalism and the bondage of the law to those that walk by faith. And as he is doing that, he says this. We can read it in Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Hebrews 4, 1, he says, let us therefore fear, or be reverent, be mindful of this, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. He's writing to who he believes are Christians. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, those that weren't getting it. They were still trying to do it by the law. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Do you see that? We which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, it was the plan of God. Verse 4 says, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. That tells you that the rest he is talking about is the Sabbath rest, right? And in verse 5 it says, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. He's comparing those that are just not getting it. They're still trying to do it on their own apart from Jesus to those who get it in Christ. A few verses later, excuse me, in Hebrews 4:9, he says it this way. He says, therefore, there remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, strive, make it a focal point, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief of those that were still trying to do it on their own. The Word of God goes on in the next few verses to point us to Jesus Christ as the high priest. He is the one that makes it possible for us to enter into the rest. And then in verse 16 of that same chapter, he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It is in the grace is where we enter that Sabbath rest. So when he's saying to labor to enter into the rest, he said, focus on entering in, staying in that grace, not going back under the law. You guys remember the Galatians, and Paul got after him. He says, who has bewitched you? Who deceived you to go back under the law? You were saved by grace, now walk it out by grace. Okay, and Paul kind of, I won't get into all that today, but let me end it with this. Remember how Jesus, when Jesus came, the Ten Commandments became a little different, okay? So we had, thou shalt not kill. But Jesus said, you've heard of the commandments that it says, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, that if anyone is even angry with their brother, that they have committed murder. Okay, Jesus changed, thou shalt not commit adultery. He took it from, thou shalt not commit adultery, that whosoever looketh at another with lust in her eyes has committed adultery. You see how he changed the commandments? They're still there. They're still good. We still don't want to commit murder or adultery or steal, right? But Jesus changed things a little bit so that it was more the New Testament, and I'll explain this. When Jesus walked on the earth, he began this transition of transitioning from the Sabbath day being a day of the week to being a life that we live. Okay, he transitioned it from a physical day of rest being kept to him being the rest that we enter into by his grace. Okay, it became not just about a day, but about entering into a lifetime of rest provided by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said this while he was on the earth. Matthew 12:8, he said, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Okay, he was taking some flack for things he was doing on the Sabbath day. I'll explain that. Mark 2:27, and he said unto them, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Okay, and in Luke chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Who's the Son of Man? It was Jesus, right? He said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath too. Okay, Jesus did things that the religious folks claimed was not lawful to do on the Sabbath day to show that he was the Sabbath. Okay, people complained about Jesus' disciples because they grabbed a few heads of kernels of grain as they walked through a wheat field. They were hungry and it happened to be a Sabbath day. And he said, why do your disciples eat what's not, they're not able to do that on the Sabbath day. And Jesus corrects them. Jesus puts them into place. And he says, it is not a ritual, legal observance of the day that makes it holy. It was holy because it was about him. Okay, what they were doing was following him when they went through that wheat field. Jesus did things like healing on the Sabbath day. Remember, and they tested him. The guy with the withered hand was in there, and they said, oh, is he going to heal the guy on the Sabbath day? And they made a big deal out of it. Right? And Jesus did it because he is Lord of the Sabbath. Right? And he said that it was holy because it was about him. He exhorted others to do good on the Sabbath. Remember, if somebody has an oxen or your animal falls in the pit and they're going to die, people were letting them die because it was the Sabbath day. They couldn't work on the Sabbath day. And so they would let that animal die. Jesus corrected that and said, which of you, not if you have an oxen fall in there, he said, go help them. Go do good on the Sabbath day, because when you do it, you're not doing it for your glory. You're not doing it to make money. You're doing it because it's the right thing. It is still what God wants you to be doing. He said it was okay to go and to help them because doing it in the name of the Lord is what keeps it a holy act. Okay, it's not about ceasing from all physical activity for a specific day, but it is about keeping your whole life holy unto the Lord. Okay, think of the Christian eternal life salvation. We give our life to Jesus. Life doesn't go on the same. It shouldn't. Our life continually becomes, we shine up into the image of Christ. Okay, it is about our life emanating what Christ has done and who he is and who we now are in him. You know, Jesus didn't steal. You know, he kept the commandments, right? He didn't steal. He didn't kill. Okay? He didn't worship other false gods. But the one commandment that he seemed to break was the one about keeping the Sabbath. Okay? He did things that were unlawful to do on the Sabbath day, except he still kept the Sabbath. He kept his life holy. He kept his life about God. He made the Sabbath a rest that you enter into, and the good and the helpful and the holy things that need done in your life are done now in the name of the Lord. Okay, the Sabbath is the grace of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul exhorted us to labor to enter into that rest. He didn't say to strive and to struggle and strain to keep the Ten Commandments. Okay? He admonished us to strive or to seek to enter into the rest, into the grace of Jesus Christ given to us by God. As Jesus taught, he taught us that those who overthink it, right? Those who try to figure out how to be holy apart from him, they begin to reason it out with their minds, how they can please God. He said that they will seek to please God through their outward works. Okay, but those who come to him will find grace and rest, and they will end up doing good works, only they will be done in his name and not just done to try and please him. I'm going to show you this scripture in Matthew 11:25. It says, at that time Jesus answered and he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Okay, those that are going to try to figure it out with their minds. They didn't get it. And he has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whom whosoever the Son will reveal him. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said that those who are weary and heavy laden should come to him and he would give them rest. Okay, to labor to enter into the rest of God means that we seek to remain in the grace consciousness that Jesus gave us. In the grace consciousness. Not focused on sin as much as we're focused on the grace of God. Okay, the goodness of God will lead to repentance. I promise you, it is so true. It's easy to fall back into the works of trying to the works mentality that we think if you do good, then God will bless you. Okay, but if you do bad, then God will punish you. That sort of thinking is not under grace. Under grace, God pours out his love and his mercy upon you because of the perfection of Jesus Christ, because of what's already been accomplished through him. Okay, that's why the covenant, we have an old covenant and a new covenant. That's why the covenant wasn't just modified a little bit. It wasn't just kind of tweaked a little bit like it was good. The Bible says that Jesus came to give us a new and better covenant. Okay, so allow Jesus and his grace to wash over you. Okay, allow that forgiveness that he offered to cleanse you. Allow his love to wash you, to turn you away from ways and behaviors that are not of him. Okay, because you're not given an excuse to do evil, but you're given through love, through grace, the motivation to do good and to right in the sight of God. I guess it all comes down to, basing it on that story that I said about the Israelites, our goal is to partake of today that which has already been gathered. Partake of today what Jesus already accomplished. Jesus gathered the good manna from God for you already. And you can now enjoy the fruit of his labors. We can now enjoy what Jesus has given us. Does that make sense? We trust in what Jesus did for us. Father, we're praising you this morning. Father, I thank you that you had a plan so perfect. A plan that is so should be foolproof, Lord, and that we can follow after and understand what you have accomplished for us. Father, I pray that we live and walk in that rest, that we truly receive the grace and the forgiveness, that we don't hold things against ourselves that you are not holding against us. I pray that you help us walk in the uprightness, that state of mind, knowing that we have been cleansed by you and your blood, that we are walking in a place with you that we could not have attained on our own. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for providing and going and gathering all the good of God for us that we may now partake of it in Jesus' name. Father, we praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' precious name we say, amen.